This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, is...
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today, we are going to be putting together our own 7 of 9 mini-marathon. And Suzanne, it is the perfect time to be talking about 7 of 9.
It is. Which, technically, we were working on this mini-marathon before the news broke. Just to put that out there.
For some time before the news broke. And that news, of course, is that 7 of 9 will be making at least some kind of appearance in Star Trek Picard come early next year.
Yes. Which... I wish I had found out while watching the trailer, but it had been spoiled for me by a couple of different people on Facebook. They tagged me in a post, and I'm like, dude, I didn't watch the trailer yet. Why are you doing this to me?
Oh, well, I actually watched the trailer first.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, you get tagged on Facebook, and it doesn't say why. And you're like, oh, let me check it out. What is somebody trying to tell me? And they're like, look, 7 of 9. I'm like, really? I've been avoiding all of the little... tidbits and spoilers and things that people have just been talking about with Picard because I didn't want to know anything. I wanted to be surprised. I wanted to be shocked. And boom, that's what I get for trying that.
So how do you feel about 7 of 9 coming back? I have mixed reactions. I'm excited, of course. 7 of 9 is one of my favorite characters on Voyager, but I don't think of her as associated with Star Trek The Next Generation much at all. So I'm curious how the juxtaposition is going to play for me.
I'm excited about it because I love Jeri Ryan. She's freaking amazing. I kind of had an inkling that they might do something like that because, I mean, they wanted her in Nemesis.
I guess I knew that. I'd forgotten that.
Yeah.
So after watching the trailer, I, of course, messaged you and I said, hey, 7 of 9 is going to be back on Star Trek Picard. How cool is that? I can't wait to find out what 7's been up to after Voyager. And you said, I know what 7's been up to on Voyager. I read the books and you don't.
Exactly. So had you read the books, you would know exactly where she's been, who she's been seeing. It's no longer Chakotay, by the way.
Can you give me like the 30-second Cliff Notes version?
Oh my gosh, no. There's no way to sum that up in 30 seconds. She's, yeah.
Can you at least tell me who the non-Chakotay is?
Well, for a while, Axum was around.
Okay.
There's a certain doctor, not the doctor, but another doctor that she's kind of... You really need to read the books, because I really suck at trying to sum stuff up. So do you have any ideas, or have you latched onto anyone's theories about who this woman that went to Picard is?
Okay, I've got an outside-the-box idea, and other people have disregarded this idea, but my first reaction was that it might be Riker and Troy's daughter.
Okay.
That's what immediately came to mind.
That would be kind of cool. And that would kind of explain why Riker and Troy show up later.
Exactly.
I like that better than this one that I've seen where she's the daughter of Seven and Chakotay. I about fell off my chair when I read that. I was like, seriously? What? Huh. What are you thinking?
I think I don't like that suggestion.
I don't like that. Had it been a Janeway show, I could see that happening. Because then she would be invested in this person who is a product of two people that she loves. But yeah, I don't think that would work with a Picard show.
Changing the subject just a little bit, would you have been more excited had they decided to bring Janeway into Star Trek Picard? It would be tough to do because it would conflict with this notion that Picard is the focus of the show, being a former captain. But
yeah, I would still be screaming at this point with joy that it happened, but I would want her to get her own show rather than just glom on somebody else's show.
Maybe that'll be the new trend. We'll have Star Trek Janeway, Star Trek Sisko, Star Trek Archer. And poor William Shatner is going to be going, no Star Trek Kirk?
No, we could have a Star Trek Sulu. Yeah.
Yes, Star Trek Sulu. I can get behind that.
Yes, definitely.
Then, of course, they might have Star Trek Chakotay, but all Chakotay would say is, yes, ma'am, for 10 hours.
No, he could tell different parables and ancient legends. I'd listen to that.
Story time with Chakotay?
Yes, story time with Chakotay. That's my nighttime show.
Bedtime with Chakotay.
That would be a different show. Ba-dow-bow.
Yes, it would. Well, we better bring it full circle and actually talk about Seven of Nine and our mini marathons. So I discovered something while putting together my mini marathon list. I discovered what I have now termed the Seven of Nine paradox. And I know there's already a Seven of Nine paradox in Voyager, but this is my Seven of Nine paradox. My Seven of Nine paradox
is Zachary's own.
Yes, Zachary's Seven of Nine paradox. There may be an acronym for that. ZSNP. Zachary's Seven of Nine paradox. What I discovered is that Seven of Nine, of course, is one of my favorite characters on Voyager. I thought she brought an incredible dose of self-reflectiveness to Voyager that was much needed after the first three seasons. Mm-hmm. I love what Seven of Nine brought to the show. But what I discovered in putting together my list is I don't actually like that many Seven of Nine episodes. I have a fairly short list of episodes I actually like where Seven of Nine is the focus of the episode. And I have a few honorable mentions, and I have a long list, what I've called the anti-marathon or the yawn category, like episodes I just don't care if I ever see again, generally.
I find that really odd because I also enjoy Seven of Nine episodes, and there are some of hers that I really, really like. I would never skip, and that's pretty much what made it on my list. I did not have a hard time coming up with seven episodes that I'm like, yes, this has to go on there.
Did you come up with seven episodes? I know that's not a mini marathon, but
I came up with six.
What are your Seven of Nine seven episodes? Oh, come on. You've missed me.
Oh, dad jokes. Yay.
So were you able to whittle it down to three?
Yes. Yes, I was. And I have three honorable mentions.
I know it's fun to try to guess each other's. I don't know if it's fun for our listeners. I hope it's fun for you listeners, too. It's fun for us to guess each other's.
If it's not, oh well. Sorry.
Before we compare our list, Suzanne, we got an interesting piece of feedback, if you remember. Someone thought it sounded like you and I don't like talking to each other when we're podcasting, which cracks me up because you and I are like best buddies. And we love talking to each other. And we have this yammering kind of Abbott and Costello kind of routine. But no, we love talking to each other. So, you know, if we sound antagonistic, it's totally an act, everyone.
No, it's that I sound antagonistic, and I'm sorry, that's just my personality. If I like someone, I'm going to pick on them. That's just what I do.
For whoever sent that piece of feedback, I have one word for you, irony. So with that, let's move on to our lists.
Okay.
Can you guess the first one on my list? I'll bet you can. I know you can.
I can. Scorpion.
No. That is on my honorable mentions list, though.
Oh, what am I thinking? What am I thinking?
You know it.
Someone to watch over me.
Top of my list. You got it. See, you do know me after all these years.
My brain just wasn't there for a minute. It was like, and then kicking me. It's like, you stupid. Yeah, you know this.
That is my absolute favorite Seven of Nine episode.
That's not even on my list.
I knew it wouldn't be on your list. You're not sappy at all.
That's true.
No, I love Seven singing. I love Seven and the Doctor. I love, you know, flirting with their romance. I love that episode. I could watch
the lobster.
Yep, I would take that one over any of the others.
Okay. Well, that's not surprising. You have extolled the virtue of that episode on us many times.
Many times. See most of our previous episodes for anyone who yes. wants to hear about that.
Okay, so I guess we're going to gloss right over that and move on to...
I'm gonna try to guess yours.
Okay. Do you want my number one or my number three? Are we going to go that order? Or?
I'd be happy if I get ones on your list at all.
Even honorable mentions?
No, one of the top three.
Okay, top three. Okay.
Your actual choices, yeah. I'm going to go with Tsunkatsu.
No, I'm just I do not want to smell what the rock is cooking.
That was a joke. I'm just kidding. I know it's not Tsunkatsu. I do think it might be Voyager Conspiracy.
No, that did not make my list. I don't really see that as a Seven of Nine episode. I see it as more of a Janeway Chakotay type episode, but I guess it really is a Seven episode. And I do like that, but no, it did not make my list. That's kind of weird.
Huh. Okay, so you know me better than I know you. You're still mysterious after a couple years, so it's okay.
That's me, mysterious. What I did go with on my first pick is Relativity.
Oh, that's on my list too. Yay.
You get two sevens for the price of one.
I think that's just such a fun episode. Any episode with time travel is kind of fun. And we get multiple sevens. We get to see the time ship Relativity again. You get to see Voyager before it's launched.
Yeah.
And what a fun moment that must be for a brand new captain to take command for the first time. I like seeing Janeway take command. It's not about Seven, but I love that moment.
Yeah, you can see her almost ready to like jump out of her skin. She's so excited.
Do you have a favorite Seven moment from that episode?
Oh, Seven of Nine to Seven of Nine. When she contacts herself on the comm badge. I love that. It's like, I would really like to do that to myself sometime. If I could have like a doppelganger or a double, that would come in really handy.
Suzanne to Suzanne. Come in, Suzanne.
Although I think I'd call her Suzanne too. Just so no confusion.
So you would be one of two and she would be two of two?
Exactly.
I wish we'd seen a little more of Seven of Nine playing ping pong.
Everybody needs to play more ping pong.
I love Voyager. This is the kind of stuff I love about Voyager. Voyager just does weird stuff. Ping pong tournament in the rec room. All right.
And of course, this is also the episode where we get the warning that Voyager shows up violating the temporal prime directive too many times.
Yeah. Which Captain Braxton did you like better? Did you like this Captain Braxton or the other guy who played Captain Braxton?
I like this Captain Braxton, but mainly only because I remember him from the finale of Quantum Leap. He was the bartender.
I loved Quantum Leap, but I never systematically watched it. I don't think I ever watched the end of Quantum Leap.
It was very unfulfilling and very sad.
That was one of those shows I just kind of caught when it was on and loved it, but never really watched it. Wow, now I need to watch it.
I watched it like as it was airing each week and then was so upset with the ending. Man, So Voyager would be the second show that I was upset with the ending about, because Quantum Leap was the first.
You know the show that I did love that was on about the same time? Maybe it was a little bit after Quantum Leap. I can't quite remember the time frame at this point. Sliders.
Oh, Sliders was good.
I loved Sliders.
Yeah. Sliders was good.
Wow, I'm going on like 90s television nostalgia here now.
Oh, yeah, because then you get into one of my like favorites, which not many people saw. Was called 7 Days. They could only go 7 days into the past to change things.
Oh, okay. I don't think I ever saw that. Really I have another. While we're talking about obscure TV shows from the 90s, there was one called Time Tracks. Do you remember Time Tracks?
I know the name, but I never watched it.
It's another time travel show. Darian Lambert, this police officer from the future, goes back in time to capture criminals who've gone back in time to evade capture. It's great.
That sounds kind of like Time Cop.
Yeah, like every other time travel cop show. Right. Nothing new about it whatsoever. No. But it's a great show.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, Time Cop.
I never watched it.
Oh, You must watch it. Ugh. Just to see him do, like, that he jumps into a split.
Is Dennis Lexio in it?
No. He was
not. Oh, reaching into the To the Journey Wayback Machine there.
Oh, boy. I think we got off on a tangent again, didn't we?
Oh, that's okay. It's been a while. Our listeners love our tangents. No, I've learned this about podcasting, really. We're supposed to be talking about Voyager, but really, people who listen to us like listening to us. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. We don't have to talk about Voyager. We're all friends here. We can go on a tangent. It's fine.
Yes. I like Tangent the Journey.
And we're going to bring it back right now. So we both have Relativity, and Relativity was awesome. But yes, those aren't our only picks this week on To the Journey. I'm going to try to guess your next pick. Okay, so you've got Relativity. I've got someone to watch over me. We both have Relativity, so
yes,
we're on your second pick. I'm going to guess... Sorry for the dramatic pause here while I'm thinking.
Thank you, Calculon.
Body and Soul.
Nope, not on my list.
Really? I thought you loved that episode.
I love that for the Doctor.
Oh. I love that for Seven of Nine playing the Doctor.
But to me, even though it's Seven, it's supposed to be the Doctor.
No, that, okay. I guess that, so you're saying that you're saying Body and Soul is not actually a Seven of Nine episode, even though she does all, Jeri Ryan does all the acting in it. Okay.
If it was, if we were choosing the Jeri Ryan episodes, then that would be on there.
Oh, okay.
But it's a Seven of Nine episodes.
I see. Well, I'll spill the beans. Body and Soul was my third pick, so I ruined your guessing. For that, all the reasons I just mentioned, I love Jeri Ryan's acting in Body and Soul, and I do think it is a really Seven of Nine episode. But I stole your thunder. What's your actual pick then?
My actual number two pick is Infinite Regress.
Oh, I hate to do this to you. I put that in my anti-marathon category.
What?
I don't know. I just have a hard time with that one. It's, yes, the acting is great, but I don't find it that interesting. This is one of these things where I love Seven of Nine, love the acting, don't really care for the episode.
I like it because it shows the aftermath of being a Borg, how it can fracture your mind and make you deal with all these other things that really have nothing to do with you, almost like split personality disorder.
That's a really good point, because really up till now, other than Captain Picard in The Next Generation, we don't get a kind of first-person perspective on what it's like to be a Borg. They come across as very zombie-like, especially after first contact. So it's great to have a little bit of, for lack of a better word, phenomenology about what it's like to be a Borg.
Yes. And just having to deal with other people's memories and fears. And in the case of the Klingon, hunger and lust.
And myriad other emotions.
Also, we get this great scene in this episode that really has, well, it kind of has something to do with Seven, but not really. Neelix wanting to put a guard in the mess hall to stop the midnight snacker.
Yes. That's all. She takes it personally. Someone get out of my kitchen.
It cracks me up, and it made me wonder, I'm like, how many other people have gone in and just pilfered through Neelix's stuff in the middle of the night? You know, somebody wakes up, they got the munchies, they head to the mess hall.
You'd think on a ship that small, without replicators that are functioning regularly, that midnight snacking would actually be a big problem.
Yes, I think it would. I could see Harry in there, you know.
That's like every fifth entry in Tuvok's security log is a midnight snacker entry.
And how many of those are Tuvok?
And don't they have cameras throughout the ship? This is the 24th century. And it's here in the 21st century, you can't walk out your front door without being on a camera. They don't have camera in the mess hall?
I guess the midnight snackers took them out.
Or sensors, or fill in the blank with some 24th century techno, what's it?
Techno babble.
I had just kind of assumed, and it's funny, I'd never really thought about this, but I just kind of assumed that there would be cameras pretty much everywhere on a starship. Like, everything's being recorded all the time for security purposes or whatever.
Maybe they were malfunctioning and B'Elanna just hasn't gotten around to fixing them. It's low on the totem pole of what needs to be fixed.
Yes, I'd kind of forgot about the midnight snacker in that episode.
That cracks me up.
Oh, Voyager. These are all the reasons Voyager is my favorite Star Trek. The Midnight Snacker. It's not enough to bump it out of my anti-marathon list, but that is a great, great part of this episode.
Because if you have that many people in one area, you know somebody's going to be sneaking snacks. It just happens.
Sneaking the snacks.
That's right. Okay, well, you don't have any picks left, do you?
No, I'm out. Those are my three. Mini marathon. If it were just me, just my little mini marathon, and I were limited to three episodes, it would be Someone to Watch Over Me, Relativity, and Body and Soul.
Okay.
And I'll go into my honorable mentions here in a minute. And I'm curious what you think about my anti-marathon list. Do you have an anti-marathon list? Like ones that just go yawn, 7 of 9 in this episode, yawn?
No, that's the... No.
No? Okay. Interesting.
I didn't really think that much into it. Other characters, I think that much into it, like Harry, Neelix.
Because I just turned 41 and have no actual memory at this point, I actually had to Google it, like 7 of 9 episodes in Voyager. And then I started going through the list realizing I don't actually like that many of these episodes.
Oh, man. When was your last rewatch? I think you need to start it again.
So it's actually been quite a long time since I've watched Voyager, other than what we need to do to record To the Journey. Haley and I are watching Bones right now, so every night we're systematically kind of watching through Bones. We're on season 8, and I've totally fallen in love with that show. I haven't actually sat down to do a rewatch of Voyager in some time. Bad podcaster. I'm such a bad podcaster.
I haven't watched it in forever either.
I'm like the anti-podcaster, which is why I come up with my anti-marathon list. I do. Voyager is my favorite show, even though sometimes I go, I don't like that episode.
But even with shows that we love, there's always going to be episodes here and there that you're like, ugh, why can I just skip this one? Because they can't get it right all the time. There is no such thing as perfection.
And Voyager gets it right more often than not. And even when Voyager misses the mark, they do a pretty good job.
Yes, they do.
They miss the mark in an ironic way.
Okay, so I guess that leaves me with my last pick.
What's your last pick, Suzanne?
My last pick is One.
I was going to guess that for one of yours, and I talked myself out of it for some reason.
Well, you shouldn't have done that, because it is. It's on the list.
What do you like about One? It's the loneliest number. It's the number one.
It is. Ironically, yes. I like that because of her Borg physiology. She's the only one that can, you know, save the day, save the ship, save everyone getting through this radiation. But then it also has her human physiology reasserting itself and all her fears coming out and doubts. And you really see her more as a person than just a Borg in this episode.
Hmm.
She's not as perfect as she appears. She has those fears and doubts and is afraid that things won't go the way that she wants them to.
So you basically like to psychoanalyze 7 of 9.
Kind of. She's the only one that, well, besides Naomi, that came into the show not fully formed.
It's interesting because I think as much as I like the depth that 7 of 9 brought to seasons 4, 5, and 6, and 7 of Voyager, I think I like funny 7 of 9 and romantic 7 of 9 more.
They're good. They have their place, but I like 7 of 9 dealing with her mind and becoming who she's going to be. I like that. I like her seeing her grow and change.
I like what that brings out in Captain Janeway. I like that Captain Janeway has to kind of nurse Mater through that.
But we also see Captain Janeway grow and change and Chakotay grow and change. I mean, pretty much everybody. Except poor Harry.
Who's still an ensign.
Still an ensign.
Did you like the present that Haley and I got you from Fanex?
I did. I love my autographed picture of Harry. It's awesome.
Oh, good.
It is currently next to my autographed picture of Tuvok and Janeway.
Excellent. I figured you didn't have one already. I wasn't 100% sure. We'd never talked about it, so I took a chance, and I'm glad you love it.
Yes. I need to track down Chakotay. Robert Beltran. I'm coming for you. I need your autograph.
We had a wonderful little 10-minute chat with Garrett Wong, and he actually recorded a bumper for Haley for Standard Orbit, pretending to be George Takei, which is awesome. If you haven't heard that yet,
amazing
it's
Takei.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's at Dragon Con every year and does an amazing Takei, which George Takei is going to be at Dragon Con this year, so it's going to be hilarious with the two of them together.
So I have to admit, One went on my anti-marathon list. I'm sorry.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I think sometimes I feel like in season 4 of Voyager, it's too much Seven of Nine. It becomes the Seven of Nine show. As much as I like what Seven brought to the show, season four is the Seven of Nine show. It's just too much Seven of Nine for me. It's that transition period where she's discovering her humanity, which is actually, in a way, the most sort of psychologically and emotionally interesting part of Seven of Nine. But I just don't... Maybe I just need to rewatch it and pretend I don't know who Seven of Nine is and put myself back in the innocence chair and watch it again. You know, as if I'd never seen it and I didn't know what was going to happen. But for me, it's like, okay, I know how this is going to shake out. Poor Seven. She's got issues. She's becoming human. Okay, I get it. I've seen it. It's not new anymore. Maybe I just need to check all of that and realize that it still is awesome.
But you also get to see, you know, some funny lines with Tom and Harry. And
Yeah, that's true. I'm all for those.
Yeah. And I would have liked to have seen Tom with a teddy bear.
Oh, a Tommy bear.
Tommy bear.
I presume you have some honorable mentions, too?
I do.
Let's do them.
And in no particular order, Hope and Fear.
How did I miss that one on my list altogether? I must have glossed over that completely.
How dare you?
Wow. Yeah, I actually just missed that one completely. That can go on my honorable mentions, too. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mentioned already, I've got Voyager Conspiracy on mine. And Scorpion.
Oh, I did not put Scorpion on mine.
Really? Yeah, I like Scorpion a lot. Is it a Seven of Nine episode? Kind of. I mean, it's, you know.
But it's got that bad Janeway Chakotay moment that I just can't. Oh.
This isn't about Janeway Chakotay. This is about Seven of Nine.
But everything I watch colors is colored with Janeway Chakotay. I can't help it. It's me.
So what else is on your honorable mentions list? Things you might almost have maybe put on your main list.
Well, the next two I know we've talked about how much I love them before. And the first one would be Drone.
Oh, yeah. Drone is on my honorable mentions list. That almost made my main list. Yeah.
Gets me every time. I love that episode.
Love that one for sure.
And then after that would be Survival Instinct.
Really? That's on my yawn list.
What? Dude.
What do you love about it? I'm always, don't make me say anything. What do you love about it?
Again, we have to deal with Seven of Nine dealing with the aftermath of her having been a Borg.
Oh, yeah. You're big on this. You like the aftermath.
I do. She created that mini collective, and now she has to deal with what she has done to these people.
Wow. I don't know. I feel so shallow for not finding that interesting.
I just like psychology. I always have.
I know you do. No, that's funny because for me, I'm just like, oh, I get it. She feels guilty for everything she's done. Okay, I get it. Point taken. Give me an interesting story now, please.
But they had interesting stories. Okay, whatever.
All right, I'll share one more of my honorable mentions. I have Think Tank on mine.
Okay. With George Costanza, okay.
Yeah, it's loosely a Seven of Nine episode, right? It's more of the George Costanza episode than the Seven of Nine
episode. That's all I could think about with that
this
one.
This is the Seinfeld in Space episode.
I keep waiting for Elaine to show up.
I'm trying to think of what Jerry Seinfeld would say in Jerry Seinfeld's tone of voice inside this episode. Can you do a good Jerry Seinfeld?
Oh, good grief, no. Not even close.
I'm trying to think how I would approach doing a Jerry Seinfeld impersonation. It's not coming to me. He's got that super high pitched da 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 kind of voice.
Well, that you did really well, the da 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 da. So yeah, there you go.
Why don't they just warp out of here? I don't know.
But see, then if we had Jerry show up, we would need to have Newman. Newman would have to be somewhere.
I picture him as kind of like a Packled or like one of those. or maybe like the Delta Quadrant Packleds, whatever those aliens are from.
The poo-looking aliens.
Yes, the poo-looking aliens with the ones that have the hierarchy and like the spy on Voyager.
That Googie Grass, he was one of them.
Yeah, Newman would be one of those. Yes.
Yeah.
How about Kramer?
Kazon.
Kazon. I was just thinking that. Kramer.
He's got the hair already.
I love that the Kazons have Kramer hair. That's totally true. And how about Elaine? She's just B'Elanna.
Yeah, she is.
Okay, we've got our Seinfeld Voyager cast. That's good. Okay. See, our tangents are great. So the last one on my honorable mentions list is Unimatrix Zero.
I figured that was going to be on your list.
Oh, love making out in the forest.
Lovey-dovey.
Yep, that's me. That's how I am. Card carrying.
So then you need to read the books. There's a lot of lovey-dovey stuff in the books. Okay.
Well, yeah, you mentioned, what's his name? Axum is in the books with Seven of Nine. Yes. In a non-Chakotay role.
Yes. And then, of course, you get Janeway and Chakotay in the books. Yes!
Okay, yeah. I think what I need is a starting point. I've read Homecoming. Mm-hmm. So I need to know what to read after that.
Full Circle is the one to start with.
Okay. And this is the natural, logical follow-up to Homecoming?
Kind of. There's some other stuff that happens that David Mack did that need not be mentioned.
Hmm.
But it'll kind of catch you up in Full Circle.
Okay. I'm a terrible I'm a bad Voyager fan. I'm a bad podcaster. I haven't read the books. Who has time?
And I'm a mean person. Yay.
And you are. And we don't like podcasting with each other.
No.
The funny stuff. The funny feedback you get as a podcaster.
Yes.
We've heard it all. The good, the bad, the ugly.
The random.
The random. Got to hand it to our listeners for keeping us accountable, though. Every little thing we've said, someone has commented on.
Yes.
Consistency is not our strong suit, so.
I never claimed it was.
Nope, not even pretending at this point.
No, not at all.
Okay, so are there more on your honorable mentions list, or is that it?
Nope, that is all of my six.
Okay, you want to hear my anti-marathon list?
If I must.
Okay, these are not bad episodes. They just don't particularly do it for me.
Okay.
And they each have their own good moments, of course. But they're not good 7 of 9 episodes for me. The Raven?
Yeah.
Retrospect.
I don't even remember what that one is.
Neither do I. That's why it's on my that's why it's on my list.
She thinks she was assaulted?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like that one.
One, we mentioned one already. You love it. For me. Meh.
Come on, dude. It makes me cry every single time. It takes a lot for me to cry.
I know. Who knew you were such a sap?
You'll pay for that.
I also put Infinite Regress on my anti-marathon list. Bliss, although you've convinced me that Bliss is better than I used to give it credit for.
Oh, that's the pitcher plant one. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You love that one. Yeah, you know, you've convinced me that that's better than I used to think, so.
Why is that not on my list anywhere?
I don't know.
I left
one out altogether, and so did you, so that's okay.
Okay.
All right, I also have Dark Frontier.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Survival Instinct. Like, no comment.
Yeah, because that was one of my honorable mentions. Thank you very much.
I have World Wrestling Entertainment in Space, Tsunkatsi.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
It's a shame because I genuinely love The Rock, and I love, I'm not like into like mixed martial arts or anything, but I love like old school wrestling stuff. So you'd think I'd like that episode, but nope, I really don't. All right. I also have Imperfection.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. You're agreeing with me on a lot of these. Good. Human Error.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay, not good. At all. You do have an anti-marathon list. Okay, good. And the last one, Natural Law.
I'm not even going to say anything about that.
There we go. That's why it's on my anti-marathon or
yawn
list.
That's one of the ones that should be burned, completely burned, just out of there.
Just excised from Star Trek canon completely.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Get the giant eraser and just take it out.
I don't know if I need to bring out the giant eraser on it, but it didn't make the list. Didn't make the cut. So that's the 7 of 9 paradox. I love 7 of 9, the character, but I don't actually like that many 7 of 9 episodes. Not to be confused with the actual 7 of 9 paradox in Voyager. Just not the same thing. This is Zachary's 7 of 9 paradox, or ZSNP.
I really love 7. There's maybe like a handful of episodes that I just won't watch. which you mentioned. But other than that, I'll watch any episode she's in, gladly.
I so can't wait to do a To the Journey episode on Star Trek Picard when we first see Seven of Nine. I can't wait to see Seven of Nine back after all these years. How many years has it been? It's been, what is it? Voyager went to the year 2000, right?
So 2001.
2001, so it's been 18 years. Mm-hmm. Soon to be 19 years. That's amazing. That's a long time between, you know, one portrayal of a character and its next go-around. I can't help but wonder how much screen time she's actually going to get. Is she going to be a major focus or a minor focus?
I don't think she'll be a major focus.
Mm-mm. I hope she's not just thrown in there as a token, though. I hope she really does add something substantive to the show.
I think she will, because I don't think Patrick Stewart would have it any other way.
And I don't think she would do it just to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point in their career, do they have an incentive to do it if it's not really good?
No, they don't. They have other projects. They could be doing other things.
Exactly. I could be in a play right now. What was that from? I could be doing a play right now. Oh, no, it was from Lost in Translation with Bill Murray. Remember, he goes to Japan to do a whiskey commercial, and he says, I could be doing a play right now.
That is a good movie.
Well, I love that we're to the point, Suzanne, where you can guess my top pick on the first try. No questions asked.
No, it was a second try, because I wasn't thinking.
Oh, well, yeah, right, sure. But you knew it in your heart of hearts. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. And I'm still an enigma.
Well, it's been fun talking about the return of Seven of Nine today, but this isn't the only thing we've been discussing here on Trek FM, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
But Larry, how do you know that there's not a house somewhere out there on the Forge where Cybok's in the living room, Michael's in the living room, and there are like six other people in the living room that Amanda and Sarek and Spock never talk about?
They took us in for a while and they threw us in the house on the Forge.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
Wait, so what switched between your two lists?
Calypso comes in, Runaway comes in second importance.
Right. Okay.
But Calypso comes in second in enhancement of the season.
Okay. I see.
And really, even
there.
Importance, I could probably, in my head, flip Calypso and Runaway, because I don't need Runaway.
Standard Orbit.
Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, is the best named movie of the first six movies, I think. Because from a marketing point of view, from a Star Trek point of view, it's just a great title. You know, not talking about the execution of the film. I just mean, it's a great title. The other movie titles were, you know, I mean, they weren't that creative.
Literary Treks.
So I think if you have an idea or a story for a Star Trek novel, you would be better served if that came on the heels of the 10 pieces of fan fiction that you've written or whatever, or things that you've written on your own that not necessarily fan fiction, but if you practiced as a writer and have honed your craft, because they're going to want you to be a good writer.
Yeah, they're going to, and that comes back to, you know, it's, they're going to tie in editors, and this is not just Star Trek, this is anybody. They're going to go with people who have demonstrated an ability to hit their marks clean, easy to work with, or at least able to work with. And can do that on a, you know, it's like, okay, I did it once. No, okay, well, now do it again. Now do it again. Now do it three times in a row. Now do it five times in this one calendar year.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published, and please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party podcast apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to share your thoughts with us. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it'll come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek.fm show and select To the Journey. That'll come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. So, Zach, when you're not busy watching Someone to Watch Over Me on Infinite Playback, where can our listeners find you on the internet and around the network?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTrek's TrekFM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me in there. And you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And how about you, Suzanne? When you're not busy hailing yourself, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me occasionally popping up in the Babel Conference. And you can find me on Twitter. My handle is KJangway8. That sounds so naughty when you're not busy hailing yourself.
Hailing yourself would be really strange.
Yes, it would.
Is it like a temporal part? I guess it's not like a part. It's not like a slice. You're like, it's all of you, just at a different time frame.
Yeah.
It's not like you're bifurcated.
But to take it back to Time Cop, which I'm about to do, that you've never seen, even if you go back to see a past version of yourself, if you touch, you'll like explode, because the same matter can't occupy the same space, and blah 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 techno babble,
unless Dennis Alexio shows up to save the day.
But he had to die, so sorry.
That's right, Jean-Claude Van Damme is the good guy in this one. Okay,
yes.
People who haven't listened to the Journey for a while are like, what the hell are they talking about? Inside joke.
Aren't they all?
Well, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and many more, all available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, we do have a few people we would like to thank. First off being C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, who is the true identity of the Midnight Snacker.
Oh yeah, I know, Chris. Big, big snacker.
Executive producers Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Metella, our Patreon manager. Also a very special shout out and thank you to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you for your continued support of Trek FM and To the Journey.
Well, be sure to join us next time when we're going to be riding shotgun with 7 of 9, Captain Picard, and Number 1, and we don't mean Riker. But until then, this has been To the Journey.